Hi, and welcome to the Burlington United Methodist Church podcast. I'm Pastor Josh. Today we finish our sermon series, What Did I Sign Up For?, with our message titled, To Have a Future. Be sure to stay updated by going to our website at www.umcburlington.org. You can also donate to the church by clicking on Give. The passage for the sermon comes from Isaiah chapter 56, verses 1 through 8, and it says, This is what the Lord says, Maintain justice and do what is right, for my salvation is close at hand, and my righteousness will soon be revealed. Blessed is the one who does this, the person who holds it fast, who keeps the Sabbath without desecrating it, and keeps their hands from doing any evil. Let no foreigner who is bound to the Lord say, The Lord will surely exclude me from his people. And let no eunuch complain, I am only a dry tree. For this is what the Lord says, To the eunuchs who keep my Sabbaths, who choose what pleases me and holds fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that will endure forever, and foreigners who bind themselves to the Lord to minister to him, to love the name of the Lord, and to be his servants, all who keep my Sabbaths without desecrating it, and who hold fast to my covenant, these I will bring to my holy mountain, and give them joy in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and sacrifices will be accepted on my altar, for my house will be called a house of prayer for all nations. The Sovereign Lord declares, He who gathers the exiles of Israel, I will gather still others to them besides those already gathered. I hope you enjoy the message. Thank you for listening, and God bless.
He looked unfamiliar to me. He was in a wheelchair. And even though he was in a wheelchair, which was completely different than how I knew him, he had joy. Something was different about this man. You see, as he was a younger man and growing up, he was a big guy. He was a strong guy. He would be described as having the ideal physique. He would have given Arnold Schwarzenegger a run for his money. But now he's in a wheelchair, unable to do the things he did, to lift, to run, but there was joy. You may not know the name of Lex Luger unless you followed wrestling as a kid. I did. But the name is not important. But the man who experienced a transforming moment when he, after losing everything, losing the money, losing the fame, losing the glory, losing the house, losing the cars, realized that his life was built on a foundation of sand rather than stone. Life changed right there in a story, right there on A&E. I mean, who would have expected to see a wrestler, you know, those guys, you're sweaty and, you know, there's debate whether it's real and fake, you know, as a kid that you debate about. But after an encounter with Jesus, he wasn't like the younger man. There was a transformation about him. And what really blew me away is as he shared the story, I mean, he had the dream of being the top wrestler, of having the heavyweight title belt, of having the cars, the girls, the houses, and all of this stuff. At the end of the documentary, he says, I don't dream about that anymore. He says, the one thing I vision for myself. He actually quotes 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 7 through 8. I had to dig through it after he said it. He says, this is what I want for my future. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. Somebody that many of us probably would have written off if we saw him on the television set 20 years ago. But after a stroke, losing everything and realizing that he needed Jesus to experience the joy that he was chasing after the stuff, He was able to see God's preferred future for him, which was radically different because he experienced what the 90s philosopher, the notorious B.I.G. said, "Mo money, mo problems." But once he lost all the money, still had the problems, he realized that there was a Savior who gave him a future, a vision of what he could actually truly become. And his friends actually note there in a documentary, he looked totally different. There was joy on his face because he had seen a better future than what he could ever have imagined for himself. God repeatedly, through the prophets, talks about what he's going to do, that there's this going to be this new era to come. And I want you to write down, if you're taking notes, I want to invite those who are watching online to put in the chat, a new era. A new era. Because God says he's going to do a new thing. And I especially love the book of Isaiah because throughout the whole letter, God is telling his people there's going to be some good times, there's going to be some low times, there's going to be some happy times, there's going to be some struggling times. But he always puts in throughout the whole thing that there's this future that's in the distance that once everything has been completed, there's going to be this gathering of all of God's people to his holy mountain in his holy place. And of course, that's described here, a house of prayer that everybody's invited to, and everybody who calls upon the Lord's name is going to be gathered. Nothing that can be accomplished in human hands, but it says God himself is going to gather. And in our particular passage here this morning, as it opens up about righteousness and justice and Sabbath keeping, God here through the prophet addresses a couple of people who have been historically left out. Eunuchs and foreigners. Now they weren't the only groups that were marginalized or kept out. But God brings them up as an example of those who among these who have turned to him, and God is setting them up as the example of doing what he wants his people to do who are not doing it. Israel had gotten very comfortable because they were born of Abraham, because they were blood. It's like, well, we are going to be saved because we're descendants. Or we're going to be saved because we know all the rules. We're ready for the quiz and we know how to follow the rituals, and so we're good. God says, no, it's not about knowing the list of rules. And it's not about who your dad is or who your mom is. But are you my people? Are you pursuing justice? Are you pursuing righteousness? Are you keeping the Sabbath? Because in the Old Testament, when every time God mentions the Sabbath, he says, this is the sign of the relationship. This is the evidence of who my people are. And so when God talks about these things, and justice and righteousness always go together. They cannot be separated. And I think it's really a down thing for the church to ever separate these two words, because in Scripture, these two always, always, always go together. They are inseparable. And God says, my people who are evidence, you can tell who they are because they pursue these things together. And we're seeing it in these people that are marginalized. And unfortunately, even today, it's easy in our human nature to want to keep people, certain people in and keep certain people out. And can I get a witness? Amen. Amen indeed. Because we struggle, because you know these things called political parties and ideologies and cliques, where we want some people in and some people out. And I remember in high school, it's one of those things we grow up with. The jocks, the goths, the nerds, the geeks, the freaks, whatever you call them. Some people in, some people out. But even as adults, sometimes we struggle. Do they dress our way? Do they have the right job? Enough money? Do they look like they're who we want people to look like? Do they dress a certain way? Do they have hair or no hair? You laugh, but it happens. If I'm lying, I'm dying. But we find reasons. Keep people in, keep people out. And God says here that I want all of my people who are willing to pursue justice and righteousness, who's willing to be the evidence, my witnesses to the world, to show them off, basically, this is what the future is going to look like. It's going to look like people who do what I want them to do, who I've commanded and have taught them and loved them and sacrificed for them. And this is a dream, a future, a vision that is given, that applies to all people. Because over and over and over again, we see in the Old Testament, Israel fails to be who they are supposed to be. God actually calls them, beginning from Abraham, says, I'm going to use you to bless the nations, to basically bring the world in because the world has gone sideways. But over and over and over again, Israel has, sought ways to keep people out and to discriminate and marginalize and to find reason upon reason to say, no, you don't belong with us. You're not saved like us because you're not blood or you don't know or you don't follow the specific rules. God says, no, 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 no. You are to be my witnesses so that people can see who I am and they are to see who they're supposed to be so that they can be brought in. And so the very people Israel was very adamant about keeping out, God says, guess what? I'm bringing them in. And that is a gift, that is a promise for each and every single one of you. God loves you so much that he wants to bring anybody that will turn to him, bring them into his house. A seat at his table. Very own room. I know I mentioned that in most of my sermons, but it's the future. It's God's vision for you and for me. He invites us to participate in and promote and live into in this life as we prepare for the next one. Because we got to be careful that we don't get too comfortable like Israel. Because as was said there in the Great Commission, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, we are then sent to gather people in, to be used by God to bless the nations, to be, as it says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to be his witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and across the world. And of course, for us, that includes our starting point right here in Burlington, Kansas. A future for you. When all else is sinking sand, as Lex Luger realized, all the stuff in this life, it's temporary. There's no U-Haul we can take with us to the grave. And I believe the Pharaohs tried. But I want you to make sure that we walk away with this morning is that God counts no one out. God's not looking to keep people out. He's looking to bring people in. No matter what they look like. Tall, short, skinny, fat, hair, no hair, glasses, no glasses, white collar, blue collar. All human measurements pushed aside. But God is looking for his people who love him and want to love others, to do justice, righteousness, keep the Sabbath as a sign of the relationship. So that this place will always be a house of prayer, but not just a house of prayer, a missional outpost into the world. So as hopefully as you see God's future for you, he wants to send us so that we can share others God's future for them. To show and share life change to a world that is hurt, that is broken, that is in need of some good news. To bring the world in, out of darkness, out of fear, out of anger, out of hopelessness. And so I want to invite you, those taking notes, those in line, I want to invite to put you in to put in the chat, God use me to bring in the world. God use me to bring in the world. Because God's original plan still sticks. To use his people to bring in others. To love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. And to love our neighbor as ourselves. Because that's how we want to be treated. I just quoted Jesus right, I mean, several times right there, because that's who it's all about. To demonstrate his love for others as he has loved us. And so it comes down to seeing our future, but also creating the future that he has given us to be a part of. To be a part of that great commission. To be his witnesses. Because you never know how small or how big our impact will be, whether it will be this year, next year, or 10 years. Because sometimes it's just that one thing that we're doing, that one thing that we're praying for. When I was in South Korea, I had the opportunity to do some house visits and some prayer groups, and we had this really awesome translator. I'm not going to try to say his name because I would butcher it up and be ugly. But he was a guy who, he was really cool. He liked American muscle cars, so we connected easily and quickly. But he was an engineer from LG who went to college here in the States. And he took time off from his job so he can hang out with us Americans to make sure that we had a translator as we went and visited these houses. And so we had the opportunity to ask about, you know, the tensions between North and South Korea. And of course, you know, we didn't really know our geography. And so we asked, you know, where is North Korea from here? And we're driving through Seoul, just making conversation. And as we're driving north, they go, see that mountain range right there? Yeah. It was pretty close. Because other side of that mountain range is North Korea. Be like saying, you know, you see down the distance that the hill or whatnot. That is where your worst enemy is. And that's what I heard. And so we asked a little further, a little more questions about, you know, what do they think about, you know, this situation with North Korea? And they're not just during that car ride, but we also heard a little bit later that they are praying and expect the wall between North and South Korea to fall in their lifetime. They expect the peninsula to be reunited in our lifetime. Now, here in America, we see the news and we're like, fat chance. But that's what they are praying for, and that's what they are expecting, because they feel God is preparing them to do something in North Korea in our lifetime. And so I want to share with you this picture. This is the front of Kwanglim Church North. This church houses thousands of people, not just on a Sunday, but all throughout the week with prayer groups, children's groups, Bible studies. I mean, this place is a hub of activity, I mean, which is mind-blowing by itself, but that is not why they built the church. They built this church to train and send missionaries into North Korea once the wall falls. Not only are they praying for it, they have invested in what the vision God has given them for the future of their country. Can you imagine preparing to be as missionaries to your worst enemy? But they don't see them as the enemy. They see them as people who need to know Jesus, who need hope, who need love, who need to know that they are not alone in the world, because, you know, you and I, we probably consider North Korea a whole, but they see the opportunity to share God's love and to show them their future that they have been denied because of a dictator. And so as we close up here this morning, I want to invite you to close your eyes if you are comfortable. And as you close your eyes, I want to invite you what it would look like here in our church if everyone was about the mission, if everyone was living as Jesus taught, if everyone was invested in the community. What would it look like in this church? What are you seeing? Do we need a bigger sanctuary? Do we need to renovate Garst Hall? Do we need a second campus? I want to invite you to imagine a little farther out. What's the neighborhood look like? If people are following Jesus in this church, in this community, what does the neighborhood look like? What's going on across the street at the courthouse? At the school? at God's storehouse, just a block away. What's going on downtown? Imagine a little further out. What's going on along the highway? What's happening at the high school? The middle school? With the other churches? What's going on in Coffee County? Because this church and the community is living like Jesus taught, to love as Jesus loved. What's happening in Gridley, Neustron, Waverly, Lebo? What's going on in the other surrounding counties? Because love was fully realized and lived out here in this church. God sends his people out to gather them in. So as we go out, how many people are gathering here to celebrate and do it over and over again? When you're ready, I'll invite you to open your eyes. What did God show you? What has been revealed to you about God's potential and maybe preferred future for you, me, Burlington United Methodist Church, Burlington, Kansas, Coffee County, Kansas, and maybe the world? And what will you do to help get us from here to there? Let's do it. Let's get to work. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you are a God of vision, that you do not leave us where we're at, but you lead us to pursue your future for the world. And Lord, as we prepare for the work that lies before us, Lord, for the investment we must make in our time and our energy, our resources, Lord, and even our money, that we may be faithful to your calling, Lord, because it's all about Jesus and what he wants us to do for each other. Because, Lord, this must be more about leaving lights on, Lord, and keeping doors open, Lord, but to change lives and to share the stories of those changed lives so all may know that you are God and that you sent your son Jesus for us so that we might be saved and have an eternal future, that we will have an eternal name just like the eunuchs, just like the foreigners, that we will be all gathered together, those who are scattered across the earth, Lord, those who have lost and are waiting for us in heaven, that we'll be all be gathered back into your house, that we may celebrate on your mountain, that we shall always have a place to celebrate for you, our God, and that you have provided a future for us, a free gift for all who call upon the name of Christ. And for this, we give you thanks and praise, and all of God's people said, Amen.